Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Well, good morning, everybody. Are you ready? I love, love, love seeing your faces this morning, being able to reconvene and regather. For those who are able to do so and are connected with what's going on in the context of being able to be here, it is so great to be able to connect with you. For so long, it seemed like we were sequestered back over in that corner of the building with a couple of cameras looking at us, imagining your faces. Now we can actually see some of them, and boy, it's just so much better. So for those of you that are still streaming the service online, we love you. We're connected with you right now. We love doing worship together in the context that however we can. So wherever you are, happen to be, if you're over in India, as some of our members are today, who's a professional pilot, Al, I don't know if you're watching this service or first service, hurry back, we miss you. Or if you're across the street or across the valley, wherever you happen to be, we're glad to be family together with you. Everyone say family. Family. Everyone say family. We're talking about some family dynamics today. You know, this morning as we're getting started in the journey, I want to encourage you to be willing to open your heart and mind and let God do some things in you that only He can do. You know, God talks to us about the opportunity we have. Does this microphone sound funny to you? It doesn't? I'm just being distracted by a microphone. I'll get over this in just a second. Hello, hello, hello. But God actually tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, here's what I want you to know. I want you to not copy the behaviors and customs of the world you live in, but instead let me transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the New Living Translation. He says, I'm going to transform you into a new person by changing the way we think. In other words, the way we think has a profound impact on the life we live, the persons, the people that we are, and all of that comes together with how we think. And God says, I'm going to take the power of my scripture and my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to work through that to rearrange some of the way you think. And in doing so, if you'll let me do that, it'll transform who you are and the life that you live. And I hope you'd agree that God's plan for us is far better than we could understand. And our willingness to let him move into our thoughts and rearrange our thinking, therefore rearranging the way we live, actually positions us to have a far better life than we could ever figure out how to do on our own. I hope you agree with that. That's the paradigm I'm coming from because I believe it's in the scripture. So this morning as we're going through this, I want to encourage you to really let God work in your heart, because as we journey together as a church family, we have the opportunity to become stronger and stronger and stronger together as family. And I believe one of the things that our spiritual adversary, the devil, fears the very most is what happens when people covenant together as family. It's one of the reasons why he works so hard to break marriages, because the covenant between a husband and a wife is the picture of the covenant between God and his people. He works overtime to try to break that covenant because he knows that when that covenant is strong, that there's no way he can get in the middle of that. And so he works overtime to do that. Same thing with families. He tries to get in the relationships to break families apart. Same thing with the people of God as a church family, the body of Christ. We're better and stronger when we're together, connected relationally and functioning in unity. He knows the one thing he cannot defeat is the body of Christ in unity. And I'm confident all of you are aware of one of the things happening in our culture right now is a strategy that he's working to divide people along racial lines. So we actually stepped into this conversation last week, began the process of working through the issues of how can God take what the enemy is working in the middle of our experience, and instead of being destroyed by it, actually lean into becoming better because of what God's doing in it. The Bible gives us that picture in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where we see that perspective. What the enemy meant this for our destruction, but God turned it for our good. So we're gonna be talking about that this morning because that's where we're at. And I want you to know that it is a joy, it is a privilege, it is a pleasure to be able to serve you, Pastor Sheree and I, to be able to serve you in the context of serving as the lead pastors of LifeLink Church. And in doing so, we're connected with you in so many wonderfully compelling ways. And so I want you to know that I've received, along with Pastor Sheree, many different video clips, contexts, articles, things that are really important to where you're at on the continuum of ideas of where our nation's working through. Excuse me. And many of you have actually sent me and Pastor Sheree those video links, and we want you to know we're grateful for it because it lets us know where you are. And I'll tell you one thing you may not realize is because of the role and the position we're in, we get to see a spectrum of perspectives. To be honest with you, we've been shellacked with video clips and YouTube links and articles and everything. And all here's what I want you to know, because I believe God would use this in the context of our experience this morning as we worship God in His scriptures. I believe God wants us to see something today that we can actually lean into. All of us have strong thoughts and feelings and convictions about what we're experiencing together. And all of us are a little bit differently, positioned differently in the spectrum of thoughts and feelings because of where we've came from, the raising that we've had, the experience we've had in our childhood and journey through life and the experiences that have happened to us. We all have different experiences and perspectives. And here's what I want you to know. All of the videos, every one of them that have come to me and Pastor Sheree are ironclad. In other words, they are excellently put together. They're convincing. They're inarguable in their precept and their execution of the thought context. And they're ironclad. And they're all really different. It means there's some from this perspective over here. And I listen to those and think, wow, what a compelling argument for that. Never saw it that way before. Then I listen to some from the other side of the spectrum and it's like, wow, what a compelling case. No wonder people are so convinced about that perspective. And what I want you to know is all across the continuum, we get those perspectives and they're all ironclad arguments. What's equally fascinating to me is that if I get multiples from any one individual, they all come from with the same tone in it. In other words, I never get something from an individual that's all the way across the spectrum. It's always from one spot on the spectrum. That makes sense? And what that tells me is that we have deep feelings about what we're seeing and experiencing and the perspectives that we're working through. And I want you to know that that's honestly good for us to be able to have a real conviction about where we are. It's okay to do that. But one of the things God's actually doing in us is helping us understand that what we believe and what we think and how deeply we feel about that particular issue or aspect of the journey, there is something that can be added to that context from a different part of the continuum or perspective. I know. And by the way, don't you love doing church together family style? I'm waiting till these kiddos are, can we just put our hands together for all the kiddos in here this morning? We love, 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 love them. So in just a minute, I'm going to do something that all the kids of every age can enjoy. But for right now, I'm kind of talking a little bit higher level. But I want you to know that God's saying, I'm going to show you something about how you see things, that you are better together. And if you let me work in the middle of all of you, I'm going to do something from the paradigm of my kingdom that none of you individually can do by your own perspective. And for me, I find great strength and excitement and just that encouragement of God saying, come on, you guys, hold on together, because if you let me get in the middle of it, I'm going to show you all something, and you're going to be stronger together as a church family, and you're going to become the very thing I've created the earth, you to serve in the earth, and that is a source of inspiration, direction, hope, life, miracles, power, all the things that come from the kingdom of God. God wants to do it through the church. I believe that with every ounce of my energy this morning. So as we're going through this, I want you to see this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I want us to look at this scripture together. Put that up on the screen, if you will. This scripture says, all scripture is inspired by God. Who's it inspired by? It's inspired by God and is useful. Everyone say useful. To teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So God is basically saying, hey, everybody, I want you to know I see things 100% accurately and truthful. And I'm going to give you access to my word so that you can let me show you where your perspective is not 100% accurate yet. I want to unlock the door that's holding you back from what I want you to experience and set you free from thoughts that have been holding you into a certain spot in the issue, but I want to let you into the discussion by way of relationship with me and others so that together we can actually show the world what unity and life-giving relationships actually look like in the kingdom of God. Why would God say he wants to teach us what's right? Because we don't instinctively see what's actually true all the time. We don't instinctively do that. So God says, you have a limited perspective, and I'm gonna teach you what's wrong in your life. We don't easily see that, some of the things that are true. And he says, I'm gonna help you realize what's wrong in your life. I'm gonna take you through an experience, and if you'll walk with me through the experience, it'll dawn on you that there's an aspect of your life that's not what it could be because it's missing some aspect of truth that's gonna come in a different direction. All right? Everybody following that idea? Okay, so let's talk about sight, how we see things. Many people don't realize, and we just take our vision for granted, and we go, if we close our eyes, we don't see, so we must see with our eyes. And while it's true we see through our eyes, we don't see with our eyes. In other words, sight is far more than photoreceptors in the back of our eyeballs catching and being activated by energy that's then focused down the optic nerves and then routed through a crazy circumstance of alignment and just complete medical mystery to certain spots in our brain, and all of a sudden our brain begins to interpret things, and all of a sudden we get an image that we understand, and that perspective that we now understand is what we call sight. And we just kind of look through eyeballs and go, well, of course, I can see you. But I want to show you something about the way we see, because we don't really just see with our eyes, we see with our mind. We see with our mind. And our mind is informed by our eyeballs, our optic nerves, and our brain. But the understanding, the sight we have to know how to navigate through streets when we're driving, or down hallways when we're walking, or in classrooms when we're learning, or online when we're trying to figure things out, the ability to perceive sight is different than the physics involved in light energy hitting those neurons and the cells in our eyeballs, being translated through the optic nerves, being registered in our brain, that then coalesces into a vision that we have called sight or perspective. So I want to show you something that I believe God set us up for in this particular context, all right? So everybody, let's do an illustration together. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, I think you'll all enjoy this, okay? Everyone close your left eye. Your other left eye. Okay, so we got one eye open. What I want you to look for is your blind spot. Keep that left eye closed and just look all over the place. Where's that blind spot? Because what I didn't tell you a minute ago is there's a hole in the back of your eye that your optic nerve runs through, and at that spot you cannot see anything. It's called a blind spot. It's right there, okay? Now, just work with me here for a second. Just with one eye open, kind of looking all around, see who's found it yet? You can't see it that way, can you? You can't see it. Okay, close your eyes and look at the other one, because maybe on that side you can see it. Can't see it. And there's a reason why we cannot see when we're looking through a single perspective. When we're looking through one eye, we cannot actually see our blind spot, because what happened is our mind actually fills in the spot with what perspective it expects to be there. It's why you can't see it looking through one eye alone. There are some tricks we can play, and we're gonna do that in just a minute, to help show you where that blind spot is. But if you just look unaided without any other apparatus involved through one eye, and that's the only perspective you have, and you're not looking with anything else to aid this, you can't really see your blind spot. Because your mind puts a perspective across that hole that it expects to be there and convinces you that's what's there. And generally speaking, a lot of times it's reasonably accurate, but it's not actually seeing anything, it's interpolating something. It's filling in a blind spot that you can't see, but it's there. All right, so let's just find it real quick. Everyone do this. Close your left eye, put your thumbs out in front of you, look with your right eye at just your left thumbnail and really focus on it. Train that right eye to look at just your left thumbnail. Everybody got it? Now slowly, don't follow it with your eye, but slowly move your right thumb away. And when it gets about 4 to 6 inches away, it'll disappear from your view. Now bring it back and it pops back into view again. Now if your eye follows it, it doesn't work. You gotta keep your eye on that one thumbnail. Do it just like that, disappears. Raise it up a little bit, pops into view. Pull it down a little bit, pops into view. Right about right there, blind spot. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fun? Now let's do that one more time, because now you really get it. It won't take you that long. I had to give everybody some extra time, but let's do it one more time. Left eye closed, right eye looking at the left thumbnail. Move it over till it's in the blind spot, and you're pretty sure that it's in the blind spot. Okay, now don't move anything. Once you get it locked in, y'all got it? Got it? Okay, now don't move anything and open your left eye. Popped right into view, didn't it? The honesty of kiddos. Okay, here's what's fascinating. Both eyes have a blind spot. Both eyes have a blind spot. When you're only looking with one eye, you can actually find your blind spot that way. But as soon as you open the other eye, your other eye actually sees with accuracy what that was in the blind spot, then informs through its perspective, and then correlates together in what's now called a three-dimensional view of what you couldn't actually see a moment ago. So now, because that perspective was brought into the formation of images in our understanding, because that perspective is now available, the blind spot is no longer blind, and instead of being now seen, it's actually now seen in three dimensions. So now we can see it, we can see it much more clearly. But in order to be able to see through that blind spot, I have to choose to open myself to that viewpoint. And when I open my perception, my perspective to that viewpoint, now it informs my overall perspective, and now the gap that is a blind spot is filled in. And now I actually see everything much more accurately. But if I close that eye again, I'm back down to that limited perspective. God's trying to teach us something about being open. And really, he's underscoring the power of relationship and why our adversary works so hard to fracture those relationships. Because when we're operating with a solo lens, we're more vulnerable because of blind spots we cannot see. But when we're together in relationship and we're open to one another, God actually helps us understand that we see things much more clearly. Now, let me move from an illustration back into Scripture, because the power of transformation is not in the ahas of illustrations. The power of true life change happens when we actually bring the power of God's Scripture to bear with what's going on. So, let's look at another way of looking at this from the way that Jesus talks about it. He says, when it comes to growing in how God's created us to be together, he says this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5 says it this way. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How could you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't you love it when Jesus gets right in your grill and starts messing with everything? So let's take this idea apart for just a moment and let's see what God's saying to us. He's saying, you got a blind spot, that's the log in your eye. And it's a different size because it's close to you. It's a log in your eye, speck in your friend's eye. Now, if he was talking to your friend, that friend would have the log and you'd have the speck. Do you see the difference? But since he's talking to you, you have the log, which means your issue is obscuring something you can't see very well. Now, a couple of things I want us to see in this insight that Jesus has given us. First of all, he's using the context of friends. He said, your friend, how can you say to your friend? So the first thing I want to bring on board is he didn't say, now notice that stranger over there who's different than you. He said, your friend. He's helping us understand that relationships are a key to this function, being able to truly benefit who we are. Because see, if I know you and I love you and we do life together and I have a much better chance of being open to who you are, what your experience is, and what you've gone through enough to be able to form your perspective, I'm much more able to receive that than if you're a stranger coming up to me with a well-oiled argument. You see it? Which is one of the reasons why I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, hey, everybody, listen, the world's a mess right now. Please don't get sucked up in the mess the world's in. I need the body to become really intentional with connecting with each other in the power of family. Why? Because you're really all different. You really come from different perspectives, different journeys through life, different starts, different cultures, different this, different that. But I see you different than you see you. And I want you to know, if you'll let me get in the middle of you, I'm going to bring you together in the power of a family that's going to model something that no other legislation or articles or YouTube clips or anything else is going to be able to do, because all that is just leveraged noise trying to get people to get sucked into opinions. And I've got a solution, God's saying, but I got to have the family being the family. Yeah, but God, that's pretty risky because I'm different than they are. They're different than I am. He said, yeah, but let's start with the log in your eye. You got a blind spot, David. If you'd be willing to open up to somebody you know, somebody you love, somebody you know loves you, who's coming from a different perspective, when you open that left eye and take in that perspective, it's going to actually give you a more accurate understanding of where your blind spot really is. And then I'll show you what to do with that log in your eye. Then you'll be able, because you've received the input from the other person and responded in a whole, healthy, relationally congruent way, then now you've got the ability to actually help them with the speck in their eye. But until you do that, you can't help them with the speck in their eye. You're just another argument to them. If you're not willing to open your perspective to the experience of somebody else who's in your family, then you've got very little influence in what's going on in their eye. But if you'd be willing to say to a brother or to a sister that you know well or getting to know better or whatever that is, if you're willing to say, help me know where you're coming from. It's not that I don't mind to see your YouTube clips. Bring them on. It all helps inform the big picture. I love all of it. But I really just need to know you and where you're coming from. What's your experience? Why? Because that'll help me show me where my blind spot. You'll help me see through my blind spot. I'm telling you, this is a key to what God's saying. Then I'll be able to help you with the speck in yours. So in other words, he starts with the issue of the friend. The second thing I want you to notice is both of them had something in their eye. There's never a side that's right and a side that's wrong. Everybody's broken until we let God heal us. Does that make sense? We're never gonna get it if we're just dug in like a tick on our thoughts. And buddy, I don't care what you gotta say, bring 1,000 YouTube clips, it's never gonna change my mind. That's just an argument. We sit down across the table and say, would you show me what your life is like? Help me understand where you're coming from. I need to feel what you feel. I wanna hear what you know. That exchange forges a relationship that changes both people. Does that make sense? It's about what God wants to do, helping us see through blind spots. And I believe, this is my opinion. I believe God designed us with those blind spots, in part specifically to require this dynamic to happen, because everything about God and His kingdom works through relationship. It's got to be relationship. Now, for the record, I'm preaching a lot better than you're amening. I just want to say that because I need a little affirmation. I'm a little Pentecostal this morning. This is where the body of Christ has an advantage, because we're not the same as people who are not connected with God through Jesus Christ. We're in the body, the family together. And because of that, we have access to the power of God's love that moves through us in ways that people who don't have that position in Him don't have access to yet. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. In other words, once we believe in Christ and what He did on the finished work of Calvary's cross, redeeming us and putting us back in relationship with God through His sacrifice, once that happens, then we are actually alive in Him, and we're literally dead to our old self, our old life, our old ways of thinking. In fact, He goes on and says, He died for everyone so that those who received this new life will no longer live for themselves. In other words, they will no longer live for their entrenched context of life. They're actually saying, God, I'm pursuing You and what You would have me know, learn, become, and do as a part of my assignment in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. Yeah, but Pastor Dave, we're Americans. Well, we live in America, but I'm a kingdom guy first. And that kingdom's supreme in my life, which means I've got to be willing to bend on issues that would the enemy would use to divide us, when really what God's saying, hey, everybody, listen, this is the kingdom that matters. Why? Because everything you need is in the kingdom of God. I'm not mad. I'm just pretty excited. It comes across mad because of my personality. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from the human point of view. In other words, now that I live with the profound effect and the center of gravity of the kingdom of God is what's anchoring my soul, now I live in that context, I've stopped evaluating people like I used to. In other words, I used to evaluate people, score them, where you at? What's your policy? What's your party? What's your opinion? Well, then you fit there in that spot, and that's where you fit. Don't come out of that spot. Why? Because I've got you down now. He said, in the kingdom of God, can't do it. Why? That's how humans evaluate humans. But the kingdom of God is my family, altogether different. Listen, it goes on. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. We just thought He was religious, but now we know Him relationally. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new what? A whole new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. All this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. Now notice, the Father, our God, our Heavenly Father says, I'm gonna bring you my creature, my creation. We are not the same, but I'm bringing you back into relationship with me through Christ. Brought us back into Himself through Christ. And then God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him too. Now, in other words, He's saying, once you take my name, you take my mission. Jesus came from heaven to earth to do this function, reconcile people to God. He's given us this task of reconciling people to Him. Verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling Himself the world to Himself. In other words, when Jesus was doing what He was doing, it was really the love and the power of who God is working through Him that was accomplishing this very thing. Reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. In other words, He said, I see all the sins. I can evaluate them from a human point of view. You'll never measure up. But because of who you are, as who I've created you, and because of the love that I have for you, I'm reaching through the gap that you cannot see, and I'm doing for you what you cannot do yourself. I'm gonna let you out of the prison of death, the bondage of sin, death and destruction. I'm gonna bring you out of that and give you access to life to the full. No longer counting people's sins against them. Did we sin against him? Yes, absolutely. We sinned against him. We offended him. We sinned. We actually not only had the nature of sin, we transgressed with that sin. God had every right in his holiness to stay holy unto himself and look down his long nose at poor, pitiful, separated people. But he didn't judge us that way. What did he do? Because of his love for us, he sent Jesus who left all that was right. He had every right to where he was. Philippians chapter 2 says, he left all of that and cascaded into our brokenness. And then he lived there for decades in our skin. And then he said, I'm going to show you how to come out of that. Then he finishes his thought. And then he gave us this wonderful message or ministry of reconciliation, which means this is our purpose, reconciling people to God and each other, the ministry of reconciliation. There's some context going around right now in discussions on YouTube about the word reconciliation or restoration and all these other things. Don't get tripped up on that. There's a context that says we can't reconcile people to each other and to God because in order to be reconciled, you had to be reconciled first and people never were and so da, 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 da. Listen, God reconciled people who were never his level to himself. Reconciled means I'm taking something that's not equal and I'm taking the unequal away and bringing relationship there. God's telling us that the key to unlocking a divine resolution to the devastating effects of the issues that the enemy would use to divide us is to look at each other from his point of view, not our human point of view, which means we're going to have to see each other differently. And then we're going to have to take on the ministry of reconciliation, which means I'm going to have to actually say, this is my mission. This is my purpose. God sees us differently. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm almost done. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 28 says this, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. He says, here's how I see you. You put Christ on like you put on new clothes. Now, he says this, there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, race and culture, slave or free, socioeconomic positioning, male or female, that's the gender issue. You are one in Christ. In other words, all the things that the enemy could use to divide you and separate you by, with conviction. He said, I'm taking all that away. Why? Because I want you as a family. I want you as a family. So let me give you some practical steps, then I got to wrap this up. By the way, parents, thank you for bringing these kids. They're amazing. And I just want to say for all the kiddos who are listening today, God is so proud of you. This is such a big day and kind of in his plan of what God's doing in our church and in our era. And I love the fact we get to do this together. So parents, I'm almost done. If you're kind of worried about kiddos, don't worry, I'm almost done. But give me just a couple more minutes of your attention, then we're gonna wrap this up. So let me give you some practical steps. First thing I want to do is to say, remember this. I'm going to look at a scripture in just a moment. I'm going to tell you the point first. The way we see, think of, and treat people is a reflection of how we see, think of, and treat God. Just before you uncork on somebody else and their opinion, hold tight on that just for a second. Look at this. Jesus is talking about this, and the context is too long, but this is the bottom line to a very complex insight he was giving people. He said this, I tell you the truth, the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did what you did to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were actually doing that to me. He's saying, in a way that you don't really understand, it doesn't make sense to you, but in a way that you don't understand, but is actually true, whatever you think of, treat, and do to that person, you're doing that to me. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. So just as we're thinking practically, what do we do when we're connecting with somebody who's not like us, who's not in our single lens of perspective, who's got a different vantage point, different experience, different pain points, different pressure points, different obligations, different distortions, different issues. What do you do with that? First thing you're going to do is realize that that person represents the way you think of, treat, and act towards that person. God's saying that's the way you think of, treat, and would act towards me. I'm in that person even though you don't understand it. What is he saying? Be cautious. Approach one another with honor and esteem, even if you're really, 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 really different on stuff. You know, there's so much that God wants to show us. But slow down and approach them differently. Why? Because I want you to be aware that the way you think of, treat, and act towards that person in a way that you don't understand is the same way you would think of, act, and treat me. The second thing I would say to this in a practical context is this. The person you're connecting with, let them and their experience determine how you approach them. Let it set the tone of how you engage them. What do you mean? Romans 12, verse 15 gives us this vantage point. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. In other words, he's saying, if you're coming towards a person and you can tell they're in a season of rejoicing, then regardless of what you're going through, let that set the tone and celebrate what they're experiencing with them. And if you're approaching someone who's actually carrying a burden and they're struggling with a pain or an issue or a circumstance that's getting the best of them and they're really in a season of mourning, then don't roll up on them with your howdy-doody smile and dump that all over them. What's he saying? See them where they are and approach them based on where they're at. Approach them where they're at. What are you doing? You're deferring. You're opening your lens to who they are and what they're going through. So let the tone, let the experience they are having set the tone of your approach. Lastly, get close enough to people to lift their burdens. Get close enough to people to lift their burdens. Get close enough to them. Listen, we never need somebody to tell us how wrong we are. You know what we need? Somebody to get relationally close enough to us to say, hey, I want to help with this. Why? Because I'm really not open to anything you got to say unless I know you're willing to help me carry this burden. But if you're willing to get in this with me and help me carry this out, we're going to have some things to talk about. Why? I'm open. Why? You know why? Because you're carrying my burden. But I can't carry your burden if I just yell at you across an issue. I got to be willing to actually connect with you. I got to get close enough to do that. Listen, everybody, your rant on social media isn't helping a thing. Can I give you an honest feedback on this, what the effect that your rants have on social media? Because people tell me, like they send me all the video links, probably nobody will send me any more video links anymore, but they send me all the video links from their vantage point. Here's what else I hear. I used to think this about that person until I read their rant on social media. And now I'm like, you know what? Hold on just a second. That's actually happening in our church, in our church family. And I think that's a travesty. Listen, nobody's listening to anything on social media. It's just a noise. All it does is just shout, hey, if you think like me, this is who I am, and come over and join my camp, because then we'll be all together in our camp. My lens, my lens, my lens, my lens. I'm not helping anything. There is a different way that God is saying we can approach one another as brothers and sisters and let God do something in the middle of us that we don't understand yet. Do we have opinions? Yes. Are they strong? Yes. Are we likely to change them? Not probably soon, but eventually through relationship and the gravity of God's love, probably we're going to start bending towards each other. You know why? Because it's what God said. Because at some point, what we're going to want is his glory made known in the earth more than being right about something. I would rather see the dead raised and the sick healed than be right about a particular policy or opinion. And you know what takes that? Unity. unity. It takes the unity in the body of Christ. And it's just better. It's just better than whoever's in the White House. It's better than whatever the policies are. Why? Because the kingdom of God transcends all of that. And the enemy wants to suck us into the quagmire of stuff that we have no idea what's really going on. It's just talking points made from agendas in deep, dark labyrinths of power that are demonically influenced, probably more than we'll ever know. What business do we have trying to sort that out when we can just connect across the lines and say, you know what, I don't get it, but I see you and I love you. And if you'll let me, I'll get close enough to you. We'll start carrying each other's burdens. We'll figure this out. You know who desperately needs this? It's not even us. It's our kids. And I'm so hopeful right now. I've never been more hopeful in my entire life than I am right now about what's possible for the body of Christ to deal with issues that have been a legitimate chain in the soul of our nation for centuries. And God is saying, it's time for my people to be who I've called them and created them to be and become the very thing I want them to be, the agents and the embassy and the ambassadors for the embassy of the kingdom of God on the earth. And for me, it's just more important than being right about a policy. I would rather say, I'm sorry, teach me what you see, than to roll up on your world and say, here's 100 reasons you're wrong about what you're thinking. I've never eaten more crow than I've eaten in these last few weeks. And you know what? It's just worth it. I just keep saying, bring it. Help me understand. Why? Because I'm starting to see something God's saying and doing. His kingdom is worth it. I don't want to be right about, I don't want to be dead right about something. I'd rather say I'm sorry and grow through a season for a while and actually hear the heartbeat of heaven's kingdom beating in my chest, coursing through my mind, anointing flowing out of my thoughts. It's just worth it. I'm struggling to how to land this sermon again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says this, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Patience. I can't expect you to change your thought overnight. You can't expect me to change my thought overnight. What we can do is see each other, commit to each other, love each other. Say, show me. Patience. Every effort to keep the unity. What's he saying? Every effort is worth the unity. Whatever it takes for the unity of the body of Christ is worth it. Why? Because the unity in the body is where the favor of God and the blessings of God are commanded. We got nothing if all we have is arguments. If all we are is an assembly of people who sing together and wave hallelujah at each other and all that stuff, but we're not in unity together, we got nothing. But where there really begins to grow the fabric of unity that goes, listen, I don't get all of what you're saying, but I love you more than your viewpoint, so how can I help? What can I understand? How can I connect? What can I do to lift that burden? When that begins to happen, God said, now I've got something I can work with. Last thing I'll say is this actually matters. This can't be just a sermon. This function has got to actually happen. Because Jesus was pretty clear when he said, here's how people are going to know that you're actually my disciples, my followers. It will not be the name on the church sign out in front of your church. It won't be the culture that you're from. It won't be the creed that you have or the doctrine you can defend. It won't be any of those things. You know what will show everybody that you're actually mine? John 13, 35 says this, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you what? Love one another. Listen, the best marriages that last a lifetime are the ones that crash through quitting points. You know what crashes marriages through quitting points? Love. Love for each other that says, that's deeply painful. I don't know how I could take one more minute of that, but here's what I want you to know. I love you enough that even if we got to separate, go get counseling, whatever it is, I'm committed to you. And that's called crashing through quitting points. You figure it out and you grow deeper. And then in 6 months, it happens again. It's on the fence. It may break 1,000 ways from Sunday. And you go, you know what? I don't get it. I don't understand, but I do know this. Let's go figure it out. Or what is that a picture of? Love. The marriage is worth more than my merit. The marriage is worth more than my rights. The covenant is worth more than that. Why? Because it's a picture of who God is and what he does with people. All right, I'm just gonna come in for a landing because now I'm just circling the field. We're just having fun together. Listen, I'm not under any pretense that a single sermon or two or three sermons are gonna fix this. What I am committed to do with Pastor Sheree is this. Every Sunday we connect and convene, we're going to say, here's what we believe the Lord of the Lord is saying to our church family. This is what we sense and feel. Let's keep growing together. We're going to make lots of mistakes. I'm not trying to offend or hurt anybody. I promise you I'm not. I probably am. But I don't mean to. I just don't know how to say things right yet. But everything in my heart wants to connect with you and say, I don't see everything about what you're seeing and saying, but I see you. I see you. Let's figure this out. So on Wednesday nights, for those of you that can, at 5:30 we open the doors. We got a bunch of tables set out. We're just saying, bring your dinner. We'll sit together. And by the way, I want you to know that I appreciate all of you who are responding to the letters I sent out about our masks and our physical spacing and all those things. It really does make a difference. And I appreciate your willingness to actually help work with some of these ideas. But on Wednesdays, we actually connect together, share some dinner together, get to know each other, that looking at life from different vantage points, growing those relationships together, figuring things out. Then we come in here and pray together for a little bit. And the Lord just told Pastor Sheree and me and the elders and our staff, I want you to bring the family to the table. I'll sort it out with you. We got to get to the table. So Wednesday nights at 5:30, we're doing that. About 6:30, we kind of wrap up. 6:45, we come into the auditorium. We spend some time. This Wednesday, I'm going to ask a panel of our hospitalist doctors and medical doctors to actually be willing to field some questions that people are having, because right now there's some spikes in the hospital admissions and things that are going on with COVID again. And we see and want to respond to that with wisdom. And I know some of you are like, hey, Pastor Dave, I don't need a mask. I got faith. Well, if your teeth are crooked, you get braces, don't you? Right? You have all the faith in the world, you still get braces. If you got a cavity, you go get to the dentist and you get a filling. If your arm is broken, you don't just have faith, you get a cast on it and God heals it. So there is something to be said for wisdom. That doesn't mean you don't have faith. It just means you're having wisdom. So, and I'm not saying if you're not wearing a mask today, we're socially distant and all that kind of thing. I'm just saying that God's given us wisdom on how to actually make it through this season, representing him well, being strong. Fair enough? Did I offend everybody right there? I'm real sensitive right now. I know I sound all strong and direct and all that, but deep inside, I just want everybody to be happy. I want Jesus to be happy. I want the people of God to love each other. I want all this stuff. So can we do this together, you guys? Would y'all let me pray and land this service? All right, Jesus, be with us. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. You're so good. Lord, for those of us who are in this spot, we need to actually say yes to you in life-changing, life-saving ways. God, today, give us courage. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're in this room today or you're watching online and you need to say yes to Jesus in a way that changes the eternal destiny of your life, I'm going to lead this congregation and you online in a life-change prayer. It's called the Biblical Prayer of Repentance. I'm going to ask that you would join us, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, say it out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. That you wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you from this day forward. No turning back, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys, let's celebrate this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.